Turn your Bibles over to, slow me down a little. Romans chapter 5. So good to see everyone in the house. Amen. So good to see all of you. Thank you for bringing your families to church. Amen. Brother Otavio, good to see you in church. God bless you. Yes, you got a new baby. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's celebrate with him. Amen. He's the newest daddy on the block. Nothing like when something is new, you know. You know the new car? Anybody ever had a new car? You have the new car smell, and then all your life you're trying to make it happen again. It won't happen because it's not new anymore. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tell somebody it's time to stand. Time to stand and flourish in the grace of God. Tell them stand and flourish. You know, when you flourish, you look good. Hello? When you flourish, ever seen a flourishing plant? Yeah? Doesn't it look nice and healthy? Yeah? And you want to go next to it and you want to touch it and you want to be like, ooh, look at, you won't even talk to the plant because it's so nice. Talk to anybody here. Yes. Oh, you guys think I'm weird. Listen, I got some plants at home that weren't growing for months and boy, they look so good. When I go, I talk to them, I said, grow more. You look so good. You have a child and the child giving you a hard time. And then all of a sudden the child swing around. Don't you want, oh man, you're doing so good. Okay, so I'm not crazy all that crazy, all right? It's okay. Okay. All right, my mic sounds weird now. All right, blow the monitors down a little maybe. It says verse chapter 5 of Romans and verse 1, yeah. It says, therefore, having been justified by what? Having been what? Justified by faith. I want to tell you, we're in a kingdom, aren't we? Every kingdom have laws, right? And if there are laws, there must be legal terms. So justification speaks of justice. Who gives justice? You go to who? The judge. For justice, right? Who has the final say in the court? The judge. The judge makes the decree and boom, you get what? Justice. For the most part. But with God, there is justice. So therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, if you're not sure, let me give you another legal term. Do you know mediator is a legal term? Your lawyer is your mediator, right? Because if you go to court, they're going to send you to jail. You have a parking meter. You're guilty before you even show up. Not parking. A moving violation. I always try to beat those things, but then I figured out I can win. So guess what I have? A mediator. I pay him $150 and I win every time. All I do is win. Yeah, I got this. Thank you, girl. Got the secret. So who is your mediator? Let me help you. Jesus is your mediator. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man. And who is that? The man Christ Jesus. So, you're in a kingdom. Next, let me give you one more legal term. When you go to court, you see what? Who do they call for? Witnesses. Who they call for? To affirm what is being said. So, who are you? Oh, you're not sure. You see, it's okay. But Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my what? What you going to be? What you going to be? Look at your friend and say, you're a witness. Now, if you don't have a friend in church, find a friend. I see some people don't got no friend in church. Yes. Listen, there's some people in church who don't look like they don't want to talk. You be kind to them and talk to them. We come here for fellowship. Say fellowship. In the world today, fellowship is like a cuss word. It's all about me, myself, and I. But I came to break that yoke and that lie today. The devil is a liar and all his agents. We are here to what? Fellowship. What? Fellowship. How many people you need to fellowship? More than one. And it only gets better when it becomes more. Tell somebody it gets better. Okay, so let's read Bible now. So after you understand who you are and who's on your side, you could read this word with understanding. It says, therefore, so if you're new to Faith Church, I'm so sorry. Normally what we do, we stand when we read the word. Amen? Because we honor the word of God. Thank you so much. It says, therefore, having been justified by what? By what? By your works? By your works. Did you do anything to get saved? Therefore, give me a little more volume, brother Robin there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? What do you have? Come on, say it. What do you got?
Peace.
I got peace. With who?
God.
Almighty God, I could put on my mic and go home right there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with who? Through who? You see, a mediator comes in there. You have faith with the, you have peace with the judge of the world because of who? Your mediator, Christ the Lord Jesus. Amen. Through whom we also have what? Everybody wants access. We want access to business people. We want access to those in power. We want access. If you're trying to get a girl, you're trying to get a number to have access to her. Hello? All you Holy Ghost filled people. Oh, mostly it's women. So it's the men. I'm sorry. But all you ladies, when you see a nice guy, you say, I wish I could get to talk to him again. Access. I wish I could have access. But most of you, can I tell you what we need access most of? Look here. It says, through whom we have what? Access by what? Into what? No. Disgrace. Hello? The God kind of grace. We have access into this unique, peculiar grace that flows from God himself, in which we... Oh, come on. You got to work with me, church. I'm not letting you go today. Which we what? Good. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm going to read 3, 4, and 5 just for a little extra. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what?
Patience.
All right, patience and perseverance. Get a new King James Bible. All of you that are reading the King James, purchase a new King James so we read together. All right? Or look on the screen. All right. And perseverance produces what? Character. And character produces
hope.
Remember this verse all your life. Now hope does not what? Anybody ever been disappointed? Anybody ever been heartbroken? Anybody ever felt like giving up? But can I tell you what does not disappoint? Hope does not disappoint. Because what? The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit, who has given, who was what? Given to who? To who? Look at your neighbor and say, you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll just speak to us. You'll empower us. You will reveal truth to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray the fire of God, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost will flow through this room now and speak into the hearts of your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. So it says, therefore being justified by what? Faith. Now, this faith is the revelation and divine persuasion that Jesus Christ is Lord. This faith here is divine persuasion and revelation. Do you know you cannot get saved without revelation? Where if God does not pull back the curtains of your understanding and reveal Christ to you, you would remain lost all your life. Do you know how this is true? We preach Jesus all the time, but yet people will not believe. It sounds good. We don't talk bad things when we preach. We're telling somebody, come to Jesus. You're going to find life. You're going to find hope. You're going to find strength. You're going to find joy. You're going to find peace, but yet they do not come. Why is that? Because their understanding has not been opened, or revelation has not hit them. Can I share the part of revelation? Brother Dave is sitting in the back. And one day he was praying along with Pastor Dog, and he couldn't sleep at night. But in the prayer, he got revelation that he can prophesy to himself, because they were reading the story of dry bones, where God said to Ezekiel, prophesy over the dry bones and say, live again. Now, this man didn't sleep. He's my father-in-law, so I know he drinks NyQuil. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell his doctor. He drinks sleeping aid, and he's still 3-4 hours sleep, and he's up. But he got the revelation that he can prophesy to his condition. Before that, he heard the word. Oh, it's a nice story of dry bones, and they preach, and people scream and shout, and the church get excited. But he did not get the revelation. So you and I cannot get saved unless revelation hits us. How can we prove this? Now, he sleeps every night. Can you attest to that, Brother Dave? He hasn't slept for 10 years. Over 10 years, he couldn't sleep without taking substances. He was a little addict. Now he's free. That is revelation. Okay. Oh my God, Pastor is wet. All right. Matthew 16:16-18 says, and Simon answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And look at Jesus' response. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hello? Revelation came when Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? And then he brought some of them. They say, John the Baptist came back, Elijah, blah, blah, blah. But then he said, who do you say? And then Simon jumped up. Peter said, thou art the Christ. So when you get access or you receive this faith, it is God that brings the revelation to you that Jesus is Lord. And look what Jesus said next. He said, upon this revelation, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, meaning on this understanding, I am going to build my what? So how is this church being built? On the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hello? So when you come to faith in Christ, you didn't do it for yourself. Tell somebody else, I couldn't help myself. Tell them, I couldn't help myself. But God helped me. And you know, God often helps the least of these. I'm so grateful he does that. So we are not justified by works. We're not justified by our character. We're not justified by our service. We're not justified by our money. We're not justified by riches, wealth, status, position, nor bloodline. You know how we know bloodlines don't justify? Eli had 2 sons. Eli was a priest of God, a righteous and holy man, but he liked food. And he got caught up with eating and he became heavy. But his sons were wicked. Came from a man that heard God's voice, who knew God's voice. How we know that he knew God's voice? Because when Samuel came and says, I'm hearing this voice, did you call me? He said, no, go back, lay down. If you hear the voice again, say, Lord, it is, I am here. You can speak to me. He heard the voice of God. He was in the service of God, but yet his sons were lost. So it's not because of our bloodline, but we are justified. Therefore, being justified by faith. The revelation that Jesus is Lord. What does justify mean? Justify means to be made right. To be acquitted of your sins. You know, you go, let's say someone is charged for murder and they go through the process, and then at the end, based on all the witnesses and all the evidence presented, the judge then says, boom, you are acquitted of these charges. Do you know that person? It's just as if they never killed anyone, even if they did. Because what? They received justice from the court. We ourselves, when we get saved, we receive the justice of God. Therefore, being justified, we are made right. We are at peace with God. You are in a kingdom. The kingdom have laws. God hates sin. Sin separates man from God. But guess what? He said in Romans 5:8, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for. We are justified. And you get into right standing with God. You are in right standing with God. You know that only God can save? You know, I found this amazing scripture in the book of Jeremiah. And in the book of Jeremiah, it says, 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Can I tell you, you can go to therapy. You can go to counseling, looking for healing for your soul, and you will never find it. But just one dose of the Holy Ghost power and all the yokes and all the strongholds and all the envy and all the bitterness and all the unforgiveness and all the shame and all the pain exits. That's why he said, Lord, if you heal me, I will be healed. Next word says, next part says, save me. Save me, and I shall be saved. There is only one mediator between God and man. And the word for save there was the word Yasha. Y-A-S-H-A means to rescue, to save, to deliver, to help, to free, to preserve. Hello? To preserve, to avenge. You know when we say, oh, Jesus, save me? We have a very pretty understanding. We think that, oh yes, Jesus washed me in his blood and he just made me right. I got news for you. When God saves, he fights for you. He avenges your enemies. He said, watch me. I will make your enemies your footstool. You're going to sit down and watch TV with your feet on the neck of your enemies. We like that part, right? Yeah, that part's sweet. It's true. You should enjoy it. It is the promise of God. It is time that we become radical in our faith. Yeah, yeah, you want everybody to be saved, but there's some people that will never get saved because they're so bent in their ways, and God knocks on their heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. If you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Open up the door, but they say no. Because maybe they don't want to part with riches. They don't want to part with fame. They don't want to part with status. Save means to deliver. When God saves you, he don't leave you in your mess. He delivers you. Save means to rescue. God goes after you and he snatches you out of the jaws of the enemy that was ready to chew you and shred you to pieces. God showed up. Jeremiah said, save me, God. Because Jeremiah was in a rock and a hard place. If he prayed for the, if he prophesied to the people, they want to beat him. And if he don't prophesy, God is going to deal with him. So he's saying, God, only you can rescue me from what I'm in. Save me and I will be saved. How amazing that it is from this same word came the name of Christ. In Matthew 1:21, when the angel showed up, the angel showed up to Mary, he said, you shall call his name what? Yeshua. Yasha Yeshua. He shall save his people from their sins. God was saving man. The word Yasha was used over 200 times in the Old Testament. So over and over, the grace of God was poured out to man. The faithfulness of God was poured out to them. But now, it was now where God was getting ready to defeat the devil, to defeat sin, and to defeat hell. The Bible says, for this purpose was a Son of God manifest that he will destroy. He was now showing up as the destroyer. of everything the enemy meant against your life, against your family, against your bloodline, every purpose the enemy is trying to show up. No, John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by what? Faith in where? In Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be what? Justified by faith in Christ and not the works of the law. You try to keep the law, the moment you break one, you break all. You break one, you break all. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Acts 13:39 says, through him everyone who believes is justified or made right or is at peace with God from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Therefore, Romans 3:20 says, therefore no one will be justified in his sight or in God's sight by the works of the law. For the law merely brings awareness of sin. It brings awareness and it leaves you hanging. But here God sent Christ, and the revelation, the understanding that Jesus is Lord delivers you, frees you when you accept him. To as many as receive him, to them he gave what? Power to what? Become. That means you were not. You cannot become if you already are. You become because you are not. You were once children of wrath. You were heading to hell. You were heading to destruction. You were heading towards the punishment for sin. But now you have passed from wrath, and now you are justified. You are at peace with God. Romans 9:30 says, what then will we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? A righteousness that is what? By faith. So faith is the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot produce faith on your own. Faith is birthed within you. Can I say that again? Faith is birthed within the believer by the Spirit of God. Faith is birthed. Tell somebody that. Faith is birthed. Galatians 3:11 says, now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Galatians 3:24, write these scriptures down. So the law became our guardian to lead us to who? Christ. So God was saving all the time in the Old Testament. He was delivering. He was rescuing. But what? Ultimate salvation came when Jesus was manifested, because the devil lost his hold on the hearts, the minds, and the soul, and even the body. Now you can present it a living sacrifice, holy unto God. Without the Holy Ghost on the inside, there is no presenting of the body. Can I say that again? Without the Spirit of God on the inside, you're not able to present your body unto God. Because it's not by might, it is not by power, but it's by who? By the Spirit of God. The result of justification is peace. The result of justification is what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have? The word for peace here is irene. E-I-R-E-N-E means one. Means one. O-N-E, one. If you have peace with God, you are now one with God. Hello? If you have peace with God, you are one. You're not equal to God. Watch me now. But you have unity with God. A husband and a wife, they're not equal. When God looks at them, he sees a man as the head, and he sees a wife right under. But guess what? The two flesh becomes what? The two become one. The two have unity. So when you have peace, you have oneness. Oh, glory. If you remember that, you're good for the week. There is rest. There is a rest in your heart. There's a rest in your spirit. There's a rest in your mind. All hell is breaking loose around you, but you are at rest. No money in the bank, and you say, my God shall supply all my needs because you are at rest. Your children acting up, and you're saying, my God, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And even if your husband or your spouse or your boss acts up, you said, and no tongue. Every tongue that rises in judgment is condemned. This is the heritage because I am at peace with God. So you have what? Peace. Oneness. Rest. Almighty God. Fellowship, mighty God. Oh, so you can now come boldly without the guilt of sin. You ever seen a child coming to their parents knowing they did something wrong? They don't come that bold. They have a certain look in their eyes. Anybody got kids? They look sideways. They can't look at you in the eye. You ever feel like, you know, sometimes you do something wrong and you get convicted, you come to God like, oh my God, messed up. Yeah, anybody ever did that? But the Bible says, even if you mess up, he says, if you confess your sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. So now, when your kid comes to you, and they're looking sideways, all you want them to do is tell you what they did. Isn't that true? Say, tell me what you did, boy. If you got a mother like Pastor Cher, she'll get it out of you. She'll keep you up all night till you tell the truth. You go to bed, she go wake you up and bring you back. You guys don't know Cher, you know? Cher is nice and cute, but she's crazy. She interrogates the kids till they talk. She should have had a job with the Homeland Security. But the Spirit of God bears witness on the inside that something is wrong. So you're not going to leave them to die with their mistakes. You'll pull it out. And cut off the stronghold. And crush it and plead the blood on it and let God break it. We have to have righteous indignation, church. When you see, you know something is wrong, and the Spirit of God is telling you, don't shut it down. Follow the leading. They that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit. So you have peace. You're at rest. You are open for fellowship. You have oneness. You can go into the throne room at any time. How? Boldly. Not shame-faced. You're not going to God like, oh God, you know, would you answer this prayer for me? No. You come boldly because what you have entered into the rest of God. Mighty God. Faith pulls the best of God towards us. Faith pulls the best of God towards us. How do we know this? It says all things will be added unto us. Matthew 6:33. When you have the revelation that Jesus is Lord and you have the understanding that he is God and that he is King, you now change the way you live and you seek him how? First. You're giving him the best of your strength. You're giving him the best worship. You're giving him the best praise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All things. What unlocks it? It's the faith. Hello? It's fear that gives you access into all of this. It's fear that brings you in. Fear is like the key that opens the door to all of God's goodness towards you. Without the revelation that Jesus is Lord, you could not quote that scripture. You'll be quoting it in vain. Fear brings leadership and direction to your life. Proverbs 3, 4 to 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways walk. Acknowledge him. And what would he do? What would he do? What would God do? So what does fear do? It allows for God's direction, the leading of God, to be at work in your life, because you are now believing and trusting and you are confident in Christ. You've understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You got justified. You're at peace now. Then it unlocks the direction of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. We know that all things, it says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it says, and God is able to make what? All grace abound towards you, that you always have in how much? All sufficiency. All sufficiency in everything, meaning being complete, self-sufficient in him. I'll say that again. When it says be having sufficiency in all things, it means that you are being complete and self-sufficient. You're not depending for your livelihood on anyone. Your faith says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you're not going after people for what you need. You're going after God based on your relationship, because you've been made right, you have peace, you can then go say, hey daddy, I need this. Hey daddy, I need that. Hey daddy, I need an open door over here. Oh God, you said that you're going to open doors that no man can close, no man can open, and you're going to close the ones that, oh God, that needs to be closed. So you are self-sufficient in God, because he'll make all things abound towards you, that you may have abundance for every good work. You may have what? Abundance for every good work. So, therefore being what? Justified by faith, we have peace with who? God. You, who do you have peace with? Hello, who do you have peace with? God. Go to verse 2. Let's work this. Through whom also, now somebody say also, wasn't that enough to take you through life? He says there is more. There is more. Through whom also we have access. What do we have? Somebody touch it. Say, this is access. I'm getting access into heavenly things. I have access into realms. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. I have access beyond what I know, and I don't care to know. All I know is I have access. Access. You got to touch it. You got to feel it. You know, your imagination was given to you by God. Your imagination is where visions and dreams come about. Hello? Who made you with that? God. So I don't rebuke every dream. I have a dream. I'm waiting for an interpretation. But yes, I'm waiting. Through whom we have access by how? Faith. Having confidence in God. Having an understanding that he is who he said he is. And he's able to do what he says he will do. Into this grace. Somebody say grace. I have access into this grace. And the word for grace is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Meaning, I have access into God's kindness. Let that digest for a moment. You have access into God's kindness. Can somebody tell me what kindness looks like? Kindness. Think about kindness. I have access into the kindness of God. When you think about kindness, nothing bad is in there. Nothing bad is wrapped up in kindness. All you could think about is goodness. All you could think about is blessings. All you can think about is opportunities for advancement. Hey, when you think about kindness, it's somebody giving to you. When you think about kindness, it's you having above and beyond, and all your needs are being met. You have access into the kindness or the grace of God. So stop walking around in condemnation, because you have been justified. Wrath does not exist between you and God. You are at peace with God. You are one with God. You are in a privileged position with God. So you have access into the kindness of God. And this grace, when it says this grace, is a blessing that is brought to man by Jesus Christ. This particular grace is what is given to us by Christ. You cannot access what God has for you outside of Jesus Christ. Because you need the blood to wash you white. You need the body that was broken for you. You need the water that gushed out of his side. You need Jesus. Because he is the only Savior. So you are into the grace of God. Grace also speaks of favor. You know the favor that we're living in, it is not merited. You know when your kid, anyone ever seen a merit certificate from their child? Yeah, they get a certificate of merit. You know what that means? They worked for it. They worked for that certificate. Now, that, if they did not work for it, they would not get it. So, earlier we said, we come into the grace of God, not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved. By the kindness of God, by the favor of God, you have been saved. Not of works. It is a gift. When you think about kindness, you think about gifts. At Christmas time, the people that gives you gifts, they are kind. The ones that don't, they are Scrooge. Favor of God. In this grace, this access that we have into the grace of God, we do not deserve it. It is not merited. It is unmerited favor. Why? Because we didn't work for it. We didn't go on the cross. We didn't die. We didn't pay the price. But God, in his love, he paid the price through Jesus Christ and has unlocked. So it's like somebody show up and they give you a key into a chest. And they say, go in there and take all that you want. And when you open it, you know, in the movies you see the gold coin. Anybody ever seen a movie where you open the chest and the gold coins, if you watch Disney movies, right? All the little kids see, you know, those princess movies. And they, when they open it, all the coins, gold coins fall out. That is the access that we have. You have the key, and the key is faith, so that you may get into the grace. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Stop limiting God. Stop limiting the power of God. Stop limiting the Holy Ghost in your life. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. But we have access to it. Let me show you somebody. You know, grace can be messy. Grace is not a pretty story. You ever heard about Daniel? Daniel went into captivity and he was taken to Babylon. And when he got to Babylon, the Bible says that God caused him to get favor with the eunuchs. favor. He did not deserve it. He was actually even setting up the eunuchs for death, because he told them the king had a portion of food for them to eat so that they may look good and flourishing when they come before the king. And he told them, he said, I cannot eat that. I cannot eat that because it would defy what God says, God's standards for my life. And the Bible says in Daniel 1 and 9, it says, now God had granted what? Daniel favor and compassion from the chief of the eunuchs. God will cause us to come into favor with people that should have been our enemies. Daniel was in enemy territory. Those men were not supposed to be on his side. But because he had access, into God's favor, the favor was demonstrated through who? Through the heathen on his life. Well, so when you go to work and strange people are favoring you, do not think that it is strange. It is normal because you have access into the grace of God. Don't sleep on me now. We're working. He was favored not just with one king. He was favored in three different heathen kingdoms. God preserved him. King came, king went, but Daniel remained. Kingdoms came, kingdoms went, but Daniel remained. There are many that saying you're going to go under, but God has a way to show that his favor will stand around you like a shield. This access that we have is permanent. It is permanent. The Bible says in Psalms 30 verse 5, oh God, his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. The favor of God is not temporary. It is not seasonal. You may have seasonal breakthroughs. You may have seasonal encounters with God, but it doesn't change his favor. Daniel could have said, why am I being thrown in the lion's den? Did the favor of God leave me? Why am I, oh God, I pray so much. Oh God, I seek your face. Oh God, I'm longing after you. Oh God, I'm hungry for you. Oh God, I want to see your will be done in the earth, but yet I'm being thrown to lions. It is another opportunity for the favor that is on you to be demonstrated. The Bible says his favor is like a shield in Psalm 5:12. Surely the Lord will bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Meaning, favor or grace cannot be penetrated. Favor or grace cannot be penetrated. You know the purpose of a shield is to protect you from arrows that are coming in? God says he will wrap you in favor like a shield. So when they try to attack you on the right, they're going to hit the kindness of God. They're going to hit the power of God. But guess what? You're receiving the kindness. You're receiving the blessing. But guess what they're getting? They're getting the vengeance of God. They're getting, God is avenging you. God is fighting against your enemy. God is destroying them. He's shooting arrows of deliverance. But you are in favor. You are standing in favor. So it is grace that we stand. Access by faith into the grace which we stand. It is permanent. It is your position. Favor does not come and go. You do not change addresses. You are living in the grace of God. What did Peter say? Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. So you are living in the grace of God. If you don't know where you stand, I want to tell you that you're standing in the favor of God, because it is for life. It is for life. We know favor is a shield. Why? Because we've seen it in the work, at work in Esther's life. Esther was going before the king. Haman had a plan to kill all the Jews. He had a plan to wipe them out. So when you see men like Hitler and all these guys try to persecute the Jews, it's been going on all the years. Because it's God's chosen people. Why do you think you face persecution? Because you are chosen by God. You are peculiar. You are the treasure of the earth. And guess what? The enemy hates the children of righteousness. He hates the children of God. But you are marked with the mark and the seal of Almighty God. And you shall not be touched. So Haman planned to wipe out the Jews. Haman planned to get rid of them. But somebody say, thank God for Mordecai. There was a man that knew how to pray. There was a man that says, hey, Esther, you go and see the king. Don't worry that Esther was pretty and she looked good. Oh, man, she probably was. But it wasn't her good looks that got her in there. It was the prayer of Mordecai. He said, Esther, you go and we're going to pray. You go and we're going to fast. I want to tell you today, do not plot against intercessors, those that stand and fight for God's agenda and fight for the works of God, because Haman was planning to hang Mordecai. And the Bible says, because favor stood up, favor was a shield, favor lasts forever. He said, we're going to get rid of him. Oh, Katorobrosha. While Esther was getting favor, he was planning to kill Mordecai. But the Bible says that it backfired on him. It backfired on him. Esther 7:10 says, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Mordecai was a simple old man. All he was doing was saying, I want to see the kingdom of God come. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to make the sacrifices necessary, because I'm living in the grace of God. The favor of God is multiplied on my life, and he's been good to me, and he's never failed me. So I'm not going to fail him. I'm going to keep pressing, and I'm going to keep living, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep trusting. But Haman, with his boastful, braggadocious, envious, malicious self, said, we're going to kill you, Mordecai. And he got the gallows ready. But while he was cooking, and there is a little saying, oh God, man makes plan, but God wipes out. The moment the king walked into the presence of Esther, the Bible says, let me read the scripture for you. Esther 2:7 says, the king loved Esther. What he did? And you know, if the king loves somebody, you don't mess with them. So Haman went to see the queen. Oh, God. And the queen's name was Esther. He went and he saw her. And he said, hey, ba, 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 ba. He's given her all this long story. But at the right time, the moment the king found out about his plan, the king walked in the room to go and see Esther, and when he walked in, that same moment he fell. Mr. Haman was speaking to Esther, but that moment Haman fell on Esther. And what did the king says? Don't tell me you're going to try to plot against me and steal my kingdom is one thing, but don't mess with my girl. Don't mess with my lady. Don't you try it. He said, Haman, you're going down because you touched the wrong one. Remember Joseph? He said, I can't touch my master's wife. I want to tell you today, don't mess with a man's wife. But it's more than that. It was divine providence. It happened that the moment the king walked into the room, Haman fell on Esther, and the king got angry. Listen, you don't have to wonder how God will avenge you. He said, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay. Don't worry who abuse you, misuse you, refuse you, curse you, trample upon you. Jesus said, in this world you will have many troubles, but be of good cheer. Be of what? Good cheer. Why? Because be mindful of your position. You are in favor. You are in my kindness. I will avenge. I will fight for you, man. So Haman got hung, and the men that conspired, we're still in the favor of God here. We're still in the saving power of Christ. I want to open your eyes. Salvation is not only God saving you and washing you and saying, no, God, it's God fighting for you. It's God fighting your battles. It's God making way where there seems to be no way. It's God opening doors that are closed. It's God bringing dead things to life. Yes! Don't let your troubles swallow you up and you forget your God. They throw Daniel in the pit with the lions. And the little saying goes, the king went to bed. And the word says the king couldn't sleep. The king was up all night because the Bible says the king loved Daniel. The king what? Loved Daniel. When people are good to you and people take care of your interests, you love them. I say that again. When people take care of your interests, you love them. So that's what the king had, love for Daniel. And he couldn't sleep. So he got up early the next day and he walks up. He looks. He said, Daniel, have your God delivered you? And he goes, hey, good morning, king. This lion was so comfy. Me and the lion had a good night rest. I was under his paw and I felt so warm. It was like a blanket was down here for me. Not only pillow, but blanket was here. I was at rest because the deliverer was in the room, in the den. You might feel like you're going down and you're hitting rock bottom. Hold on to the unchanging hands, the hands that have never failed, the God that never changed, the deliverer, the Yasha of heaven and earth. Favor cannot be penetrated. They thought they could have penetrated God's plan for Daniel by putting him in the pit with the lions. The Bible continues. The story didn't end there. It says Daniel once more found favor with the king. What he did? Go to Daniel 6:24. So the same men that came, listen to me, some of us work with devils on our jobs. You work with miserable people because they're not spirit-filled. They're demon-filled. It's okay. Sometimes you got to speak the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what that means? You know how to pray for them. You know how to stand in the gap for them. You know how to believe God for their deliverance. You know that God, just how he changed me, he can change them. So you know the truth. That is not the person, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So this is not a license for any of you faith people to go to work and misbehave. Because you are the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth. You are living in the kindness of God. So guess what you got to give? Is the kindness of God. The grace of God got to flow out of you. Daniel 6:24. The king gave a command. And they brought, somebody say, those men. You see, we know Daniel's name, but we don't know those men. Because those men are no more. But Daniel reigns forever because he is a son of the living God. And they cast them where? Into where? The lion's den. Not only them. You see, the problem is when you mess with the anointed of God, when you mess with God's children, when somebody messes with you, sometimes when they go down in droves. I don't like to preach like this, but Jesus help me. They will go down in droves. The Bible says here, they didn't only hang Haman. They hang him and his family. They didn't only kill the men that conspired against him. Watch here. It says, their children, their wives, all of them went down, and the lions overpowered them. It never said they changed lions. So you can't say the lions that were in there before had no teeth. They all went to the dentist and got extractions, and they were nice, huggy, cushy, and mushy. No, the same lions that could not have touched Daniel was the same lions that devoured the enemy. Tell somebody, don't mess with a child of God. Don't mess with the anointed of God. It overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they even came to the bottom of the den. So just picture them going down, and as they're coming on the line, just cut bones. Bones, while Daniel is standing in the shield of favor. Daniel is standing in the shield of favor. You ever seen in movies where, I don't know how you call those science fiction movie, where they press this button and like something appears? Yeah? We, I don't know what that's called. And then the person time travels. You know this type of stuff? Yeah, we are living in a shield of favor. And it's not just on the front, it's not just on the side, but he says his favor shall be your shield. Mordecai and Daniel had one thing in common. They both prayed. They were both men of prayer. I want to encourage every man in the room and every woman in the room, spend time in the presence of God in prayer. It is time that we become a church that is passionate about prayer. Yes, we had 24 hours of prayer, but more of us can pray. Some of us, I only see you once a month, twice a month. You need to pray. You need to spend time in prayer. Spend time on your knees. Last night, after having all this good time, I went to home. And you know what I did? I leave my family in the kitchen, and I went upstairs, and I dropped on my knees. And I said, God, without you, I can't do it. Without you, I can't do it. Without you, I can't preach tomorrow. So I need you. I need you. We saw so much explosion. We could have got excited and stay excited and forget to be grateful and go before God in prayer, just like our Jesus did. Every time he finished something great, he went away into prayer. Remember to pray. Last point. So we have access. We're living in the grace. This last one I want to hit you with. It says, so now we rejoice. We rejoice. When Pastor Shay came up and she was going crazy, why? She was rejoicing. Because what? She has faith. She has the revelation that Jesus is Lord. Next, she'd been justified. Next, she had been peace with God. She is one with God. When God looks at her, he sees one of my special, peculiar, holy, righteous, faithful, anointed, empowered daughter of the King, a heir of righteousness, a joint heir with Christ. So there is reason to rejoice. And next, you have access into the grace of God, into the kindness of God. So knowing all of that, you can only but rejoice. We are to be a joyful people. Listen to me, there's nothing in this world can get me down. Can I say it again? Somebody was telling me last night, you know, when you have money, you're very happy. I said, no. When you got God. Had it not been for Jesus on our side, where would we have been? Once you have God, you have everything. Once you know that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, you've got everything. Because the temporary things will take wings. They will go. I heard of a very rich woman that died, and many of you know it probably made the news. The owner of Sandals, you know Sandals? We all want to go to a Sandals resort? Yeah? Anybody want to go to a Sandals resort? I do. Thank you, honest people. Put your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. I do. Because it's so nice, right? You see it on TV, like, what? But you know, the daughter-in-law just died. I think she was in her 30s or 40s. And the money couldn't save her. Leave all these beautiful kids behind. The Bible says, it is appointed unto every man once to die. After death comes judgment. We have to be mindful, church. Understand where you're living. It says, in this grace which we stand, it is permanent. It is your position. It is yours to enjoy. It is yours to embrace. It is yours to rejoice about. The Bible says we can now boast. We can now glory. We can glory in God because what? We have entered into the grace of God. We can hold our heads high. We can walk with confidence because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the understanding, the Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding, church. Understand who you are. Understand where you stand. Understand where God is taking you. And what you don't understand, the Bible says, ask. 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 Ask for direction. Because the Holy Spirit is your guide, he's your teacher, and he is your friend. Let us all stand this morning.